Well, we've been, over the last several weeks and a couple months, really, working through this book, The Essential Practices of the Faith. And as we do so, we've been learning different practices, different tools that can help us find God in the midst of very specific circumstances in our life. And over the last several weeks, we've been talking about the tool of lament. What do we do when the pain of a loss won't go away? And I pray that the Lord's been meeting you in this practice and meeting you as we learn to pour out these laments to God. Now, I have to confess something, and this won't shock you, I doubt, and I wonder how many of you feel the same way, that when we're working through these, whether it's things that have happened in our past or things that come up in the midst of our day-to-day lives, if I get this sense that there's something within me that maybe I haven't gotten over or I haven't dealt with, that I need to take that pain to the Lord, my first reaction is typically, yeah, I should probably do that, but thanks and no thanks, and maybe I'll come back to that at another time. And I think part of what I'm wrestling with in that moment of honesty is, if I enter into this, if I enter into this loss, this grief, this pain, how can I be sure that God is going to bring me out of it on the other side? How can I be sure that God's going to meet me in this? How can I be sure that as I begin to tap into these emotions, that the Lord is going to hold those for me? And so that's kind of how I want to preface the psalm we're going to look at today, because I think that a lot of us feel that way. And so I just want to encourage you one more time with another psalm of lament. We're going to look at Psalm 55, a biblical example of David taking a lament to the Lord, so that we can see how the Lord met him in that. Now, just a couple brief sentences about the background of this psalm. David had an advisor. It was his closest advisor, and I will pronounce his advisor's name Ahithophel. I don't know if that's right or not, but that's what we'll go with. And this close advisor of David actually leads a defection against David, goes on to Absalom, David's son's side, as Absalom is trying to take away the kingdom from David and take rule away from David. And so this close advisor, this close friend of David, betrays David, turns his back on him. And so obviously David is in anguish over this, over this bitter blow that he's received from this deep and close friend and advisor. And you can read more about that in 2 Samuel, especially chapter 16 and 17. Speak to that if you want to look at that in your own time and get a little bit more of the background situation of what we're reading about in Psalm 55. But with that said, we are going to turn to the psalm. Before we read that together, though, I want to invite you to bow your heads and join me in prayer. Father God, you've gathered us, and Lord, we know it's your desire to meet us in this place, as it is our desire to meet you and experience you and hear from you the word you have for us this morning. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, that you shape this time, that you open our hearts and our minds, that these words of mine will be transformed so that they are words that come directly from you and find root in our hearts. May this scripture, may this word become living and real and practical to us today. We ask in Jesus' powerful name, amen. Psalm 55. Give ear to my prayer, O God. Do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me and answer me. I am troubled in my complaint. I am distraught by the noise of the enemy, because of the clamor of the wicked. For they bring trouble upon me, and in anger they cherish enmity against me. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me. And I say, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Truly, I would flee far away. I would lodge in the wilderness. I would hurry to find a shelter for myself from the raging wind and tempest. Confuse, O Lord, confound their speech. For I see violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around it on its walls, and iniquity and trouble are within it. Ruin is in its midst. Oppression and fraud do not depart from its marketplace. It is not enemies who taunt me. I could bear that. It is not adversaries who deal insolently with me. I could hide from them. But it is you, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend, with whom I kept pleasant company. We walked in the house of God with the throng. Let death come upon them. Let them go down alive to Sheol, for evil is in their homes and in their hearts. But I call upon God, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I utter my complaint and moan, and he will hear my voice. He will redeem me unharmed from the battle that I wage, for many are arrayed against me. God, who is enthroned from of old, will hear and will humble them, because they do not change and do not fear God. My companion laid hands on a friend and violated a covenant with me, with speech smoother than butter, but with a heart set on war, with words that were softer than oil, but in fact were drawn swords. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. But you, O God, will cast them down into the lowest pit. The bloodthirsty and treacherous shall not live out half their days. But I will trust in you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Psalm 55, a lament of betrayal. I just want to look at a few things in this psalm as we consider it this morning. As the psalm begins, David acknowledges his pain to God. For those of you who have picked up the essential practices of the faith, you would know that this is the first step. David acknowledges his pain to God. I am troubled. I am distraught. My heart is in anguish. Terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling and horror. Acknowledging the pain in the midst of these circumstances and directing this to God in a very honest and real way. Verses 6 through 8 are my favorite in this psalm because I think they're the most honest. Maybe not the most honest, but they're definitely honest. And they speak to me in what I was saying earlier. Notice what he wants to do in the midst of this pain, in the midst of this circumstance. He wants to escape it. He wants to flee it. If I were a dove, I would fly away. I'd go find shelter. I would get out of here. And this is my first impulse too. Like David, when I have these emotions, when I have this pain, when the Lord begins to reveal these things to me, when there's things in my heart that I believe God wants me to bring to him and acknowledge, what I so often want to do is run away, is to fly away. If I was writing this psalm, I would be like, Lord, just let me go to the beach and forget all of these problems and troubles and trials. This is David's impulse here too, but he doesn't. He doesn't run away from the pain. He doesn't run away from the loss. He doesn't run away from these feelings. Verses 9 through 11, he continues to bring these before the Lord. And he begins to formulate his request to God, confuse their speech. a prayer born out of his pain that he has as he looks over the city and he sees what's happening in this beloved city of his. There's violence and strife, iniquity, trouble, ruin, oppression, and fraud. And he looks over the city as he looks over the climate, this pain that he has over what's happening to this place that he loves. He acknowledges. And in verses 12 through 15, he really begins to turn into what I would say is the heart of the lament in this psalm. And he's acknowledging his pain and disappointment with this other person, with this trusted advisor. And that's why I would call this a lament of betrayal. Now, if you do any reading or studying about trauma, you know that there's different types of trauma that we can experience in this life. Just another example would be like an event trauma. An event trauma would be an event that occurs, like a tornado comes through town and brings destruction to your home or to your community. Like, that is an event that takes place that brings trauma into our lives. Well, in the same way, there's betrayal trauma. And what some would say is that betrayal trauma can be some of the most severe and significant trauma that we experience because it involves someone that we deeply love and trust, like David and his companion. And I love it. He's like, look, I could deal with this if this was an enemy. I could deal with this if this was an adversary, someone that was coming after me. Like, I would just run away. I would fight. I would do all of these things. But no. The reason why this hurts, Lord, is because this is my equal, my companion, someone that I've kept pleasant company with. We walked in the house of God among the throng. In other words, what we would say today is we worshiped together. We sat in these pews and proclaimed praise to God, poured our hearts out with one another. We had this intimate relationship, and you've turned your back on me, and you've betrayed me, and you've broken it. And how's this for an honest feeling? David says, may death come upon them. Remember when we talked about not censoring ourselves when we pour out these raw emotions to the Lord? I'd say that's a pretty good example of it. Lord, I'm angry over this. I'm hurt. I'm crushed. Be all right with me if you just wipe them off the earth. And what we're seeing in these verses and 12 through 15, and I want to reread 16 through 19, is this process of David stepping into this practice. When he has this pain in his heart that he can't get rid of, he's coming to the Lord. The process that we learn of writing and speaking this to the Lord, we get a great example of. Listen to these verses again, beginning with 16. I call upon the God, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning at noon, I utter my complaint and moan, and he will hear my voice. He will redeem me unharmed for the battle that I wage. For many are arrayed against me. God, who is enthroned from old, will hear and will humble them, because they do not change and do not fear God. And then it's almost as if he can't quite get beyond this betrayal. Like, he's starting to pour this out to the Lord, and he throws it out to God, and then he kind of comes back and talks about how God's meeting him in this. And then in verse 20 and 21, it's like, but there's still a little bit more there. My companion laid hands on a friend and violated a covenant with me with speech smoother than butter, but with a heart set on war, with words that were softer than oil, but in fact were drawn swords. This friend who betrayed. And then as we turn to verse 22, what I might say would be the peak of this psalm, David brings to us the solution in the midst of this problem. Cast your burden on the Lord. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will sustain you. But you, O God, will cast them down into the lowest pit. The bloodthirsty and treacherous shall not live out half their days. He's giving this burden to the Lord, saying, you handle this. You take care of this. And as the psalm ends, but I will trust in you. As David crafts this psalm of lament, as we read through it, as we envision him writing this and crying out and bringing these moans before the Lord, we see David becoming expectantly hopeful. We see David becoming expectantly hopeful. As the Lord begins to meet him in these emotions, he begins to expect God more and more to show up and meet him, and he begins to develop hope in the midst of this pain. And what I would tell us this morning is that there are ways that we can too expect the Lord to meet us when we take our pain to the Lord. Ways that can help us remain hopeful as well. And what I want to share with you this morning as we kind of end this 3-week focus on taking our pain to the Lord are some things that I believe we can expect. That as we engage this practice, as we take our pain to the God, some ways that we can remain hopeful that the Lord can meet us in that place. And the first two really review processes and practices that we've already learned and are certainly related. When we learn to lament, it helps us praise God. It helps us praise God even when things go wrong. We see this throughout this psalm. David begins and ends with praise to God. In the midst of it, praises God as one who will save him and meet him. In the midst of trials and suffering and pain, when we're discouraged and disheartened, when we feel alone and God feels distant, being honest with God about these feelings helps us come to a place where we're able to praise God even in the midst of those trials. And when we learn to lament, it also helps us offer forgiveness. It helps us offer forgiveness to someone who's hurt and offended us. Now, we don't see this play out in Psalm 55, but I believe this is worth repeating. That when we direct our emotions to God and the pain over someone offending us and hurting us, instead of at that individual, it can help us come to a place in our hearts where we can move towards forgiveness. Because the Lord is holding those emotions for us, receiving those as we get them out of our hearts and out of our minds and direct them to God. And what I want to say to you once more again this morning is that if you've been working on that practice of forgiveness, and the reason I say this is because some of you have told me, I'm still dealing with that whole forgiveness thing. I still have folks on that list that I'm struggling to forgive. Is to go to this place of lament. If there are folks on that list that you're struggling to forgive, bring those laments, those emotions, and those hurts to God. Cry out to the Lord about that, as David does in Psalm 55, over his friend and an advisor who betrayed him. And I would say, keep doing that. If the hurt's still there, keep giving it to the Lord. If the pain's still there, keep crying out to God. And I believe God will, in time, meet you in that place and help you move towards that step of forgiveness and healing. Next, when we learn to lament, we can find deliverance. We can find deliverance from the pain. We can find deliverance from the bondage, from the way that pain and that loss has held us captive. Now, I would say that sometimes we may even find deliverance from the particular situation in our life that we're in the midst of as we pour out those laments. And I would say that we will always find deliverance in the next life when the kingdom is in all its fullness on earth. Sometimes, in some of our situations, it's a matter of God just continually meeting us in that place because the circumstance may not change in this life. But as we pour out that pain and those emotions to God, God comes in and can help deliver us from the pain and the emotions, even if that situation itself doesn't change. And yet there are times when God changes the situation. And David had hope in that in this psalm. The Lord will save me. He will redeem me unharmed. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Next, as we learn to lament, I believe that we experience God's comfort. We experience God's comfort. Did you notice at the beginning of Psalm 55, David asked the Lord would give ear to his prayer, that God would attend to him, would answer him. And then in verse 17, he says, "Evening, morning, noon, I will utter my complaint and moan, and he will hear my voice." When we learn to lament, we experience God's comfort because we cry out to the God who hears us. We cry out to the God who hears us. I want to read another psalm, Psalm 34, and I especially want to read it as a psalm that speaks to how God hears us as we cry out. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me." Other translations say, "He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Look to him and be radiant, so your faces shall never be ashamed. This poor soul cried and was heard by the Lord and was saved from every trouble. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in him. O fear the Lord, you his holy ones, for those who fear him have no want. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Which of you desires life and covets many days to enjoy good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord rescues them from them all. He keeps all their bones, not one of them will be broken. Evil brings death to the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned." I love the psalm. At least four times in Psalm 34, it speaks to how when we cry out to God, God hears. We experience comfort as we lament. And we experience peace. A little bit different, obviously closely related. We experience peace. I love verse 22 because it says, cast your cares, cast your burden upon the Lord. And it reminds me so much of Jesus' incredible invitation to us. Come to me. Those of you that are weary, those of you that are carrying heavy burdens, come to me and I will grant you rest. Rest for your souls. Peace. A peace that surpasses all understanding. As Paul tells us in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, by coming to the Lord, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. In the midst of anxiety, in the midst of worry, cry out to God. Bring your request, your petitions to the Lord, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Will guard your hearts and your minds. Which brings me to my next point. We will be sustained. Cast your cares upon the Lord, and God will sustain you. Will sustain us in our faith. Will sustain us by remaining with us. Will sustain us as God reminds us that nothing in all creation can separate us from the love that God has for us. Will sustain us as God helps us to persevere in our faith. And moves us to this last point, to the way David ends this psalm, Psalm 55. God will deepen our trust as we learn to cry out to God in our pain, to lament to God. God will deepen our trust. David, after all of it, says, Lord, I will put my trust in you. The biblical lament ends in this way. It expresses trust in God. And it's easier to express that trust once we have given those emotions on our heart, given that pain over to the Lord to hold. And as that's released from our own hearts and from our own mind, we can say to the Lord, I trust you in this circumstance. I mean, this is in essence what the lament does. It says, God, I have this pain. It hurts. This is honestly how I feel, and this is honestly how I'd like you to handle it. And I put my trust in you. And I put my trust in you. As I thought about that this morning, and just that idea of trust, and it's because St. Patrick's Day was Friday, I thought about that incredible prayer that's attributed to St. Patrick on his breastplate, and especially the part of it that we're most familiar with. And as an expression of trust, I just want to close with that this morning. As we lament, as we cry out to God in the midst of our pain, believe this to be true. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me. Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left. Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I arise. Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me. I arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, through belief in the threeness, through confession of the oneness of the Creator of creation. Let us spend a few moments in prayer to the Lord. Perhaps this morning, in the midst of whatever it is that we've brought into us this morning, we can simply move to that place where we end, of expressing our trust to God. In what area of your life right now, today, in this moment, Is God asking you to trust him? Let's spend a few moments in prayer.